Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And boy, do we have a great show lined up for you today. This is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a passionate show that helps you take control of your health so you can live at the highest level possible. We've got two guests, two wonderful guests, plus our usual Dr. Gary Ginsberg in the second hour. First hour, we have Tom Gigliotti talking about what is holistic psychotherapy and why is it working so well. He's going to join us in just a few minutes. And at the bottom of the hour, Dr. Al Skog from Mayo Clinic, one of the world's, if not the world's expert on Parkinson's disease, talking about Parkinson's disease treatment book. He's got a book which is in its second edition now, an effort to inform patients and caregivers about their disease. But first, the top medical news of the week is absolutely outstanding. We will get to it. If not in this hour, we will get to it in the second hour. You can always listen to us on RadioMD.com when you go out of your station, out of your local station. Sometimes only the stations only carry the first hour. The second hour, you can always get us and get us the podcast afterwards at RadioMD.com. Now, I have to report on my ping pong loss today. I played ping pong with a wonderful gentleman who is 18 years older than I am, so he wants 18 points a game. I don't have to give him anything. He beats me straight up, usually, as you know. But lately, I've been doing pretty well against him. But the last 2 weeks, he has absolutely handled me as he's gotten some great movement to his left side, which he didn't have. That's his forehand side, and he is killing me. So he beat me three straight this time, and it wasn't even a contest. He was killing me. And it wasn't I wasn't playing good, he wasn't playing. But now that brings up why ping pong? Because ping pong is a great sport for your brain, because those quick switches from right to left, from forehand to backhand, the quick reflexes do something to improve your memory. We don't know why it works so well, but it is like all of the sports which have quick reflexes going one way and the other, badminton, squash, and this game, if you will, ping pong, are wonderful for brain and your memory. That's not one of the top medical news stories of the week, and it's hardly news that he beat me again, but it is. I have to report on it since he said he was going to take an advertisement out on the show to tell the results if I didn't tell it, but I will tell it. Other things this week, they're actually very interesting stories. Exercising before the flu vaccine. We always know that sleep before the flu, getting a multivitamin for just 3 days before you get the flu shot, and now exercise before it, improves your take on the flu shot. Those of us over age 65 get the high dose of the flu shot. We'll talk about the more fruits and vegetables, the lower your calcium score. It's a risk score for your heart disease and stroke. Why is it so important? And why do more fruits and vegetables do it? They turn on genes that actually are helpful at decreasing inflammation, which adds to the coronary calcium score. So by more fruits and vegetables that you eat, especially in midlife and later life, but even in earlier life, the less chance you have of having a high coronary calcium score. That goes with gene editing story, and we'll talk extensively about that at the bottom of the hour in the second hour of the show today. But I did want to get in. What is holistic psychotherapy? We're going to get to that in 1 minute, maybe less. In fact, let's go to it now. Obesity is up 6% in the U.S., from 32 to 38% in the last half hour. Tom? The way I learned about holistic psychotherapy was through its management of helping manage obesity. Why is it so useful in this?
Well, one of the things that we found is that oftentimes with obesity, there are certain underlying beliefs about what food will do for me. So we call these core beliefs, and they're the very essence of how we see ourselves. And a core belief that I may have developed around food, for example, might be that it's the thing that soothes me. And even though the evidence in my waistline, in my blood pressure, says something else, I have something that's holding on, that's keeping me to engage in the same kinds of behavior.
So these let's core beliefs.
Go ahead.
Back to the beginning on this. What really is holistic psychotherapy, and how does it deal with these beliefs?
Well, one of the things that it does is it helps people to identify the situations that they're having when they sit down to eat. For example, in holistic psychotherapy, we know that people have thoughts that cause distress. Typically, when we have thoughts that cause us distress, we choose a behavior to deal with that distress. In holistic psychotherapy, we're trying to get to the very essence of how we see ourselves, how we see people, how we see the world, how we see the future. And sometimes these core beliefs can become activated in certain situations. So I'm sitting down at the end of the day, I've had a long day at work, and I'm tired, I'm stressed out, and one of the things that I saw happen for me and my family, for example, is that when people felt stressed, they would say, manja, manja, I'm Italian. So it was like, eat, eat. So somehow what happens is I start to assume or associate food with comfort. And when that belief system does not get challenged, what happens is I learn that as soon as I eat the food, I feel calm. I activate my parasympathetic nervous system, which is, of course, relaxation, digestion. And all of a sudden, all that stress leaves for a moment. And over time, what happens is I don't develop other ways of coping with my sympathetic nervous system energy, which is stress, which is adrenaline. And so therefore, it becomes ingrained. And it doesn't matter what my body looks like. It doesn't matter what the doctor says to me. I get stuck in a behavior that is self-destructive. And as you know, is that what we've been doing in our Trim Life program is we've been helping people to get back to the source of their beliefs about food. What was it that they learned early on, and what's the price that they're paying for holding on to that belief? So holistic psychotherapy tries to get at the strongly held, rigid, and inflexible beliefs that are maintained by their tendency to focus on information that supports the belief and ignores the evidence that contradicts it. And what people are able to see. Go ahead.
So let me summarize what I think is going on. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is you teach people how to go through a self-hypnosis, if you will, to go back into time and find out what started this core belief, and then figure out the behavior that's associated with that, and then by challenging that core belief, by them saying that core belief is wrong, which it usually is, then they are able to change the behavior.
Yes, that's exactly right, Mike. That's a very succinct way to put it. In hypnosis, you're able to do that. You can get to that core belief a lot quicker.
So holistic psychotherapy occurs, you use it for obesity management. And I saw one of the cases, if you will, one of the people who was addicted to, I think it was Mountain Dew, got hypnotized to the point where this was a different way of doing it, but you got him to believe, and he hypnotized himself that Mountain Dew was urine, and so that he would not pick up and drink urine, so that every time he saw the Mountain Dew, he thought of urine, and so he broke the habit. That's another aspect of it. Is that correct? So we'll be right back with you on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
There's a direct and proven connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our vision. Additional supplementation is essential for optimal eye health, especially if you're not eating a nutritionally balanced diet. Dr. Robert Abel Jr., host of The Wizard of Eyes on Radio MD, and fellow ophthalmologist Dr. Randy Bellows have created Eye Complex CS, the most complete nutritional supplement available to help improve the health of your eyes. The powerful ingredients in Eye Complex CS support your overall macular health. If you suffer from blurry vision, eye strain, headaches, or glare while driving at night, try Eye Complex CS. Visit eyecomplexcs.com for a special offer. Compare Eye Complex CS to other eye vitamins and find out how the foods you're eating every day could be damaging your vision. You won't believe what's on the list. Visit eyecomplexcs.com for a special offer on the most complete supplement available to help improve the health of your eyes. That's eyecomplexcs.com.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word. Someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're talking with Gary Gigliotti and Tom Gigliotti. I was thinking about Gary Ginsburg's segment that was coming up in the next hour at about the same time. Gary Ginsburg is always my favorite segment because he teaches me a lot, but Tom Gigliotti has taught me a lot about what is holistic psychotherapy and why does it work. Tom, what I've been impressed with is that it really does work extremely well. So I'm going to ask you to give us a case that you remember of where it worked, other than the guy who was hypnotized so that he, after he went through holistic psychotherapy and found the cause of his Mountain Dew addiction, which caused him to get obese, you cured him of that. But talk to me about another case that's memorable to you.
I had a young woman with chronic pain, chronic headaches, and you know, they checked her for, is it light related, is it this related, but she came to me because she had been on all kinds of different medications and nothing seemed to, you know, she took some of the medications, what would happen is she would get too drowsy and didn't feel like she could stay on top of things at her work. She was a very busy executive. So what happened was, as I did the hypnosis with her, she was able to go back to when she first had the headaches, which were when her parents would get very upset and their voices would be raised and they would yell, and she would put her hands over her ears and be screaming, stop it, stop it, stop it, but it never seemed to work. And they, at one point, had said to her, and what she took on as a belief was, if you kids weren't so hard to raise, we wouldn't be doing this. So what she ended up doing was she began to think, oh, it's my fault that they fight, and I should be punished. And what she began to do was to, in a sense, punish herself with these headaches. So whenever she sensed that she was causing people problems at work or whatever, she would immediately go right back to what she remembered hearing about herself as a kid, that it's all her fault. And that theme kept running through her mind. It's all my fault, it's all my fault. And she couldn't get it out of her mind. She would get a tension headache. And what we did in the hypnotherapy was to help her to understand at that age that she was just a little kid, and little kids aren't responsible for their parents' problems. And we helped her to release that belief by just saying, Mom, Dad, you're having marital problems. This isn't about me. And what we did was then bring in her grandmother, in a sense, like connecting with of somebody who really, that she felt very safe with. And so whenever she, in a situation today where she would be triggered by somebody being upset and thinking it's her fault, she would tell herself, okay, it's not my fault. And she would just feel and sense the love of her grandmother, whatever, other people who love her. And it kept her from having the headaches. And that was a real powerful example. Go ahead.
Why is this work so well? Is it because you get at the origin of the problem, or is there some other thing going on?
Well, it really is. You get one of the things that we know about core beliefs is they develop over time, and we get to when I first took on that belief. Because remember, the conscious mind does certain things really well, and the unconscious does other things really well. And it's that creative aspect where I can actually open up the file folders to my life when I'm under hypnosis, and it gets to the very source of that belief system, where I took it on, and I get a chance now as an adult to say, wait a minute, my child believes that, but do I really believe I'm responsible for other people's problems? Or, you know, that I really need to drink Mountain Dew to feel okay? Because in both those cases, what they're doing is they're letting go of the belief about what the behavior is doing. There's no more payoff. There's no more payoff. So that's why I think it works really well.
Now, where is this holistic psychotherapy, this psychotherapy for our beliefs and our changes and even why we eat food and eat too much food? This is relatively new, and I know it's at the Cleveland Clinic, but tell me other places it's at.
Well, yeah, the other places, for example, the Wellness Institute in Seattle is the one that really have kind of put the information together for us and has really worked on it. Hypnosis has been around for, you know, 100 years, but oftentimes it's been seen as something that, oh, you don't mess with it. But more and more people are realizing it's just doing things that we do naturally, you know, relaxing, and then just allowing the other part of the brain to take over, the creative part. So more and more people throughout the country, Cleveland, Chicago, Seattle, Washington, are beginning to use this model, heart-centered hypnotherapy or holistic psychotherapy, to really get to the root of some of these really serious problems that we have, obesity, pain management. We all know the data on the amount of people that are becoming addicted to pills and pain pills. And what we're trying to do is saying, wait, there are other ways that are shown to be very effective to treat these major issues that are facing our society.
By the way, you can call in and talk with us and share in the conversation. Or it's a free toll-free call, 844-305-7800. Ben will answer the phone for you, 844-305-7800. Or you can email us at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Tom, someone has emailed in and said, is there a place in Indianapolis or in Indiana that has such a program? And I obviously don't know the answer to that. Is there a program in Indianapolis?
I don't have it offhand, but they could certainly, I mean, if they want to email and you can forward me the email, I could certainly get them that information. There are a lot of people in Indianapolis area that are doing it, but off the top of my head, I couldn't get it to you. But I know the Wellness Institute in Issaquah, Washington, keeps a list of all those people that are practicing this holistic psychotherapy. And that's another place that they could call, the Wellness Institute in Issaquah, Washington, can certainly hook them up, too.
So the state of Washington, if you will, and do you know how to spell Issaquah for the Wellness
Institute? Yeah, Issaquah. So if they type in Wellness Institute.
Issaquah.
Yep.
So you look up the Wellness Institute. Is it thewellnessinstitute.org or .com?
It's .org.
.org. So the wellnessinstitute.org. It's taken our name, except they probably were there before we were.
Yeah,
Wellness
they were.
Institute in Issaquah,
Washington. Mm-hmm.
So, and that way people can find out more about it. If you're in the Cleveland area, you obviously can come to the Cleveland Clinic to learn more about it. We use it extensively for helping people with obesity in a program called Trim Life. We use it fairly extensively in the pain management, chronic pain management, and it's used in some other areas as well. Where do you think it is? Yeah, I know it's effective in weight loss and in chronic pain. The people were just overwhelmed with appreciation for how much that had made a difference in their life. Are there other areas, Tom, as well?
Yeah, actually, we've just developed a new program for treating, it's called Brain Wellness, that's beginning to use this, about how to help people to really learn how to use hypnosis, self-hypnosis, to improve brain function, and there's going to be a new program starting for pregnancy soon, using self-hypnosis, and, you know, I use it extensively in treating trauma. So people, Iraqi veterans and people have gone through trauma, it's often very useful to teach them how to do self-hypnosis to keep themselves safe.
We'll be right back after this message. We've learned about holistic psychotherapy, now the latest in Parkinson's.
Over 30 years ago, R.W. and Margaret Garcia set out to make the best-tasting, healthy tortilla chip in the world. They invested every dime they had and started selling chips to retailers out of their family van. Today, R.W. Garcia products are sold around the world. Their products use only the highest quality, premium ingredients, are verified non-GMO, certified gluten-free, and contain no additives or preservatives. Try their three-seed kale, sweet potato, or harvest crackers, or go for their crunchy, tasty mixed bags of blue, yellow, and red tortilla chips. And for sure, every family must have one of their big bags of blue or yellow corn tortilla chips for healthy snacking and parties. Without question, R.W. Garcia is changing the way people snack with their simple philosophy, great tasting can be good for you. Go to rwgarcia.com to find out where their products are sold in your area. R.W. Garcia, the best tasting healthy tortilla chip in the world.
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage. And eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
it is.
This is
so
great.
Much fun.
Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're really fortunate. One of the stars in the field of Parkinson's disease, in fact, I would not be wrong to say the star, is Dr. Eric Alskog of the Mayo Clinic. He has written a second edition or updated an edition of his classic book, The Parkinson's Disease Treatment Book. It's really a book that informs patients and caregivers about the disease so that they can better collaborate with their doctors to find the best treatment plan for them. There have been 10 years of since the original edition was published and became a success and has really helped a lot of people. So this is about the new treatments and new things that have developed. Obviously, there's some classic individuals who we think of when we think of Parkinson's disease, Muhammad Ali and Michael J. Fox. And so, Dr. Alskog, how are they both doing with the disease, and what is the natural course? They seem to be living a long time at a relatively stable level. Is that true?
Well, it's great to be with you. Neither one are my patients, so I can talk about them, can't I? Michael J. Fox, according to the newspapers, developed Parkinson's disease symptoms over two decades ago, and he still acts on The Good Wife, and he still is a fabulous actor, and he obviously has a good life, and especially a good one, dedicating so much of his resources to looking for the cure for Parkinson's disease. Muhammad Ali, he isn't doing as well, and I don't understand that, and I don't know what treatments he's had, so I can't comment about him. But I will tell you that the vast majority of people in our clinic here at Mayo in Rochester, Minnesota, I think do pretty well with Parkinson's disease. And I've always thought that if you have Parkinson's disease, you know, this should not be a sentence to a sedentary life, but it really should be a wake-up call to enlarging upon your life, get involved with a lot of activities, engage in exercise, and then by all means make certain that you and your physician have a meeting of the minds on appropriate medical therapy.
So one of the things that is relatively new, or at least probably is a little different from 10 years ago, is the exercise program that is prescribed now routinely for Parkinson's patients.
Routinely or not, I guess I don't know. That's certainly a huge component of what I talk to folks about, aerobic exercise. So, you know, for decades, you know, therapists have been instructing people with Parkinson's disease and related disorders on balance exercises and stretching and toning, and that's all important, but aerobic exercise is something that is just coming into public visibility, and it's not just in Parkinson's disease, obviously. It's for normal aging, prolonging longevity, a pretty important endpoint, the muscle wasting that occurs with normal aging, loss of bone integrity, which is to say osteoporosis, coronary artery disease, and there's a massive literature where you could argue that exercise is the sole therapeutic strategy that we know of that may provide you with a more favorable course of Parkinson's disease. In other words, it may slow the progression.
Would
you like me to enlarge upon that?
Sure.
I think I will.
Maybe you can talk about... Good. Maybe you could talk about, at least as I remember reading, there's some things about it causing a regrowth or slowing the destruction of the dopaminergic neurons, which are part and parcel of the disease.
Well, let me take a slightly broader view about this as well, too. Now, dopamine, you know, we should just spend a minute talking about that. It's a neurotransmitter in the brain, and it's a very infrequent neurotransmitter in the brain. The vast, vast majority of brain neurotransmitters are not dopamine. So dopamine, as a neurotransmitter, as a signaling chemical, occupies far less than 1% of all the chemical neurotransmitters in the brain. But it's nodally placed, and it modulates the movement of the body. So when you lose dopamine, your movements slow down, the amplitude of movements attenuates, that's like the stride length and the arm swing shorten, and automatic movements like blinking and arm swing and facial animation are attenuated. If you restore dopamine, that can restore all of those movements. Now, Parkinson's disease can be a lot more than a dopamine deficiency. So the underlying process that's going on becomes visible when that attacks the dopamine system. And that's when we make the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, when people develop gait problems or tremor or other motor symptoms. But there is a progression of Parkinson's disease that goes beyond dopamine, and that's when you run into trouble. We can replenish dopamine for people that you can't stabilize that. There's deep brain stimulation, brain surgery. But the problem that I have in the clinic is when it goes beyond the dopamine systems and into areas where there is another neurotransmitter, of course, we can't replenish other neurotransmitters. So what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about movement problems that don't respond to dopamine because the neurotransmitter system that is being affected is not dopamine. Number two, dementia, cognitive impairment. And number three, autonomic problems. The autonomic nervous system controls bowel, bladder, blood pressure, sweating. And when that gets affected, dopamine is not the neurotransmitter, and replenishing dopamine doesn't help. So the progression of Parkinson's disease goes far beyond dopamine, and just doing things that are directed at the dopamine system aren't going to help dementia, low blood pressure, problems with Parkinsonian symptoms that don't respond to levodopa. So what we need to do is look at the big picture and come up with a strategy that slows that overall progression. So that's where ongoing aerobic exercise becomes a treatment modality.
And how does it become a treatment modality? What does it do to slow these progressions?
Well, there's a rather substantial literature. If you wanted me to cite papers, I could come up with well over 100 scientific...
No.
And medical. I'm not going to do that, don't worry, but I could do that because there are well over 100 papers that have been written where you could come up with a very compelling argument that ongoing aerobic exercise changes the what's going on in the brain. So, for example, we know from animal studies that if animals are exercised, there is an increase in trophic factors in the brain. What are trophic factors? Well, that's like putting fertilizer on your lawn. Synaptic proteins, those are things that are involved in the connections in the brain. Those are things that are liberated in animals that exercise. There are human studies that show that people that are physically fit in midlife or exercise in midlife have a lower, substantially lower risk later on of developing dementia, mild cognitive impairment, and even Parkinson's disease. So I could go on and on, but there's a whole host of studies that would argue that the single thing you can do to slow progression of Parkinson's disease is engage in ongoing aerobic exercise.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Alsag. The book is called The New Parkinson's Disease Treatment Book. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm actually a minute early, Dr. Alsag, so I'm going to keep asking you questions. Sorry, I got it wrong this week for the second week in a row. I usually don't get it wrong. Dr. Alsag, you said it is the single most important thing, but there are other therapies that are used in addition. So when we come back, let's take a patient with this, if you will, a theoretic patient, and say, how does this book help us understand the progression and what we should do in the treatment of Parkinson's disease if a loved one gets it or you're a caregiver for someone with it? We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD.
Want to start feeling lighter and more energized? Begin a 14-day detox and cleansing program with Ultimate Detox and Cleanse from Michael's Naturopathic Programs. Toxins build up in our system, and sometimes our body needs help supporting the natural cleansing process. The healthy nutrients in Ultimate Detox and Cleanse provide nutritional support for colon cleansing, blood detoxing, liver cleansing, and fat metabolizing, all in a comprehensive 14-day program. Juicing can be time-consuming and expensive. Easy on you and your wallet, Ultimate Detox and Cleanse could be just what your body needs. Every product from Michael's Naturopathic Programs is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So try Ultimate Detox and Cleanse today. Michael's Naturopathic Programs, the tried and truthful brand of nutritional supplements, is available from leading health food stores, all major online retailers, and online at michaelshealth.com. Michael's Naturopathic Programs. Feel better on the inside. Look better on the outside. Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest, from technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. events. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Michael Roizen, M.D. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, where we help you take control of your health. I'm talking with Dr. Eric Alsog of the Mayo Clinic. His book, The Parkinson's Disease Treatment Book. Actually, it's the new Parkinson's Disease Treatment Book. It's a wonderful rendition, if you will. After 10 years of being on the market, it's a great book that he had. He's updated it to include all of the latest information to give. And one of the things they do in this edition is gives you new information about how to manage things. So I thought I'd ask Dr. Alsog to give us a quick summary of what happens with a new patient.
Okay, well, I'm right here. So let's say somebody comes to see me in the office, and this is what I do all day, every day during the week. So I can tell you I'm pretty familiar with this approach. So the obviously one makes the diagnosis first, and the diagnosis is often clinical, meaning that it's the history, what patients tell you, and the examination, which is a component of the neurologic exam. And at that point, often there aren't any additional tests that one needs to do. Now, obviously, if there's some unusual features, then tests are done. But quite often in Parkinson's disease, that is adequate. Once I make the diagnosis, then it's a question of, do people need to be treated? So if there's something that's more of a curiosity, if it's just a limited tremor and not very much else beyond that, if they're walking well, and if their activities of daily living and quality of life are good, one does not necessarily need to treat them. But there are two criteria that I use for treatment. So number one is their quality of life compromised by Parkinson's disease? And number two, you know, we talked briefly about exercise. Well, I think all these folks that I see need to engage in regular, ongoing aerobic exercise, so I want them to be in a position to do that. And if they have a shuffling gait and they can't walk very well and they feel crummy, who's going to engage in exercise? So that's a second criterion for who I treat. All right. Well, let's say that they've met one or both of those criteria, and then the question is, what does one choose? Well, the reason I wrote both these books was to make certain that people know what the different medications are for Parkinson's disease treatment and which medicines work and which medicines work marginally. Well, it turns out that the best medicine for Parkinson's disease is still that old standard levodopa. So levodopa was introduced in the 1960s. It was FDA approved in about 1969, and here we are 40 years later, still the best drug for Parkinson's disease. So levodopa, which is now carbidopa levodopa, 40 years later, this is still the best drug, and it is to Parkinson's disease what insulin is to type 1 diabetes mellitus. And so this last book, the last edition that I wrote, that I cleverly titled the new Parkinson's disease treatment book as opposed to the Parkinson's disease treatment book, this particular version, I really emphasize the need to get levodopa right. And levodopa in this day and age is carbidopa levodopa. Carbidopa is there. Carbidopa doesn't get into the brain, levodopa does, but carbidopa is there to protect levodopa. And you have to get the carbidopa levodopa dosing scheme right. And my goal is to get people as close to perfect as I can. And there was a school of thought that still surfaces online, and some clinicians, I think, still adhere to this. But they would say that, well, we should save levodopa for later, and when we use it, we should be very conservative with the dose. So I don't think that really is in the best interests of people with Parkinson's disease. So I want people to be active. And life is pretty short. Guys live about 80 years and gals live a couple years longer. And if you relegate people to, 5 years of their life where they're going to be doing poorly because you're under-treating them, well, you're not doing anybody any favors. So my thought is, let's use the best drug, use it appropriately, don't use more than you need, but use the optimum dose. And the discussion that I then have in the clinic with these folks that I'm starting on treatment really focuses on how to use carbidopa levodopa. Is it worthwhile getting into any details about that, do you think?
I think we're fine on that because that will be what is occupied by people who actually get the disease or have caregivers that want to know more. But let's go, and so where does exercise fit into this? Do you put everyone on an exercise program before they go on carbidopa or levodopa, or is that a adjunct to the drug therapy? Which comes first?
Well, I recognize there's some people I see in the clinic, they're not in a position to exercise. So if I tell them to do that, they're going to go to the gym or whatever they choose to do, they're going to be frustrated because it's just too hard and they're not going to do it. So what I typically do is I'll have this discussion, but I'll say, okay, let's get you as good as we can get you, and then we're going to do this seriously. And I want people to think of themselves as not I'm a Parkinson's patient, but I am who I am, and by the way, I have Parkinson's disease. And so I want them engaging in whatever they choose. You know, for a while there were several exercises that were in vogue. You know, the press got a hold of these, riding a tandem bicycle, tango dancing, and so on. But really, the science would suggest that anything that makes you hot, sweaty, and tired, which really defines aerobic exercise, is going to be good for your body. And it's not just Parkinson's disease, but I firmly believe that the scientific literature suggests that you can maintain the integrity of many important brain circuits and forestall some of the progression of Parkinson's disease, some of the progression of normal aging, if you stay physically active. So the exercise
is something that
when you're ready
hot,
to start exercising, then you do it.
Hot, sweaty, and tired. I like that. We've been doing it by heart rate response, but hot, sweaty, and tired, or clearly sweaty in a cool room, seems to be a key for increasing those trophic factors your brain puts out. And I guess it works in Parkinson's disease as well as in preventing dementia.
Well, I believe that it does. And heart rate, that's a good parameter as well, except for people like me who are on a blood pressure medicine like Atenolol or Metoprolol or one of the others that block the beta receptors and keep your heart rate low.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Eric Oswag of the Mayo Clinic, who's one, I want to thank you for publishing such a great book, the new Parkinson's disease treatment book. Clearly, if you have a loved one with this or are worried about it, this is a great book to get. And secondly, for taking the time to educate us so well, thanks very much. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. We have a second hour and a wonderful hour with my favorite usual guest, that is guest every week, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic, What's Not, telling us about which is the best hand sanitizer to use in your home. We'll be right back. Thanks very much. And Dr. Oswag, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Dr. Mike.
Find him at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota.